Lake Superior to Lake Minnetonka and the rest of the land of sky blue waters. We are Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Wally and Eric back for yet another week as we slice and dice the always busy, always cluttered, always topical Twin Cities sports scene. And as usual, plenty of things that we can chew on this week. And I think first and foremost have to be your Minnesota Twins who, after beating the St. Louis Cardinals, the team with the best record in baseball, first time the Cardinals have lost a series, so to speak, on the road this year.
Yeah, well, it was good to see the Twins pitch the way they did the entire series, the two games in St. Louis and the two games at home. I mean, they really pitched well all week. Just couldn't get the bats going. And they finally got them going on Thursday late in the game. Maurer with a solo blast, and then Kenny Vargas puts one out of the park after banging into a bases-loaded double play a couple innings before that. So it was a good ending to that series, so to speak. As you said, you know, they lost the two games in St. Louis earlier in the week. They come home and they win the two at home. You know, we get the debut of Byron Buxton this week. Of course, he got the triple.
That was a game against
Sunday or Monday?
Monday.
Must have been Monday.
He scored the winning run in Texas because I think he got on a walk.
Yeah, no, it was a bad
choice.
It was a bad bunt.
But he did score the winning run. He only has one hit, though.
Yeah, he bunted, and they threw somebody out at third. I think they threw Escobar out at third because they tried to bunt him over from second to third, and Buxton was on first, and then somebody else doubled, and he scored. So, anyway, he's up. I don't suspect he's going to be up for long, to be honest with you. I don't think that they're going to let him hang out to dry like they did with Hicks a couple of years ago, and they just, you know, I mean, Aaron Hicks was up here forever batting 100, and they're just not going to do
that. Hey, they got a couple of crowds over 30,000, so
yeah.
They got some walk-up thanks to Byron Buxton and, of course,
the Cardinals
Nation, which flocked to the Twin Cities. And, boy, you talk about a franchise with a huge footprint. I mean, Missouri, Iowa, Arkansas, Kansas, Illinois.
And all the way into the deep south. You know, back in the day, there, you know, you go all the way down to New Orleans and Mississippi, and all that part of the country was basically Cardinal fans.
Yeah,
because as you know, west of the Mississippi until the Dodgers moved out there in, what, 58, was it, 57?
Yep. Dodgers and Giants.
Yeah, well, until they moved out there, the Cardinals were the team furthest west and, for the most part, furthest south. And so everybody kind of gravitated toward the St. Louis Cardinals, particularly in the 60s. And
there's a reason they call it the gateway to the west, St. Louis. What's the old line? St. Louis is the westernmost city in the U.S., and Kansas City's the easternmost western city or something like that.
I lived in St. Louis for a year and a half. I'm not sure I follow that.
St. Louis is the westernmost eastern city, and Kansas City is the easternmost western city.
Okay, all right.
Let me clarify.
Yeah,
it's a Missouri thing.
And Missouri, if you lived in Missouri.
They got some good baseball being played down there. Of course, the
not
question
bad.
With the Cardinals is it cyber ball?
Yeah.
Well, that's a monster story.
A hot potato. I know you talked to John Rooney, former Twins broadcaster earlier this week. He's been doing Cardinals now for a few years. He didn't care for the question.
You know, I think obviously he said, let's let it play out. And I agree with that. It's early and who knows what's going to happen. You just don't know. So, you know, the Cardinals are a proud franchise, pristine image, 11 World Series championships, second most in MLB behind the Yankees, who have 27. So what you're talking about is the history as we've laid out with the fan base and the southern representation, the western representation, the Midwest. They've always been looked at as a team that's done it the right way. I mean, they've never ponied up the big free agent money, but they've been able to win. So this was a bombshell. And then to raid the Houston Astros among all the teams. Now, I know they have the Astros GM, this Jeff Luhnow, was with the Cardinals. So I guess they think he took all the trade secrets down to Texas. We'll see.
Well, the Astros are better this year, a lot better.
They're in first place.
Yeah, although they endured a long losing streak. Which, by the way, Rocky has informed me, I don't know if you knew this, that we have the great Torrey Hunter lined up.
Good.
Today.
Yeah, that's good.
So we're going to talk to Torrey a little bit later on in the show and get his impressions of Byron Buxton and the St. Louis Cardinals and whatever else we can come up with.
I sat in the seats for part of Wednesday's game, and I roamed around the lower level. I went out into center field just to get the Buxton view of the plate and everything. And I heard some fans when he came to the plate chanting MVP, MVP.
Lord.
Well, they're fired up, but as you said, he's off to a slow start at the plate. But you can see the raw athleticism that he had just covering the ground in the outfield. He ran down a ball on Wednesday night in the gap, and that triple he had, the only hit he's had, he actually had a little bit of a hiccup in his stride, a little bit of a stumble, but he still got into the third base bag easily. In fact, there's a guy in Plymouth who drove to St. Louis and Texas to see his debut, and he bought the bag from the Cardinals.
Seriously?
No kidding.
Wow. Well, now that's a collector.
Yeah, he's got the base. And if he can get Buxton to sign it, which that's what my goal would be, get Byron Buxton to sign that base. And if this kid's as good as we all think, someday that base is going to be worth a lot of money.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. I wonder how much he paid for it.
I don't know. Apparently the Cardinals put some of that stuff up for sale, game-used items. I know the Twins have a booth like that at Target Field, game-used jerseys and stuff like that, but I do not know what he paid.
Interesting.
Name is Ryan Gilmer in Plymouth.
I had not heard that story. Did you do a TV story on it? Is that why you know this?
Well, Channel 12 in the Northwest suburbs wants to talk to him. I know that. And I was tipped off by a guy I know who is in the ticket business outside of the ballpark.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. So the two wins over St. Louis, Cubs in town this weekend. You know, so we're getting a full bath of interleague play this week.
Can you handle that?
I'm not a big fan of it. I'll say this. I went on Thursday. I enjoy watching the Cardinals. You know, it's good to see the team with the best record in baseball come to town. That never hurts. And as you said, they've got the huge fan base that follows them. And there were some huge roars.
A lot of red in the house.
Oh, my goodness. When something went right for the Cardinals, I mean, you would think you were in St. Louis.
Well, how can you be against interleague play? I know you went Thursday. I went Wednesday. I saw two guys wearing throwback Stan Musial jerseys.
Uh-oh.
I saw Lou Brock jerseys. I saw Willie McGee. How can you be against that?
Well, I don't know. I'm against it because we only get the Yankees once, and we only get the Red Sox once.
I know why you're against it.
Why?
Cubs 17, Indians nothing.
Oh,
on
my
Wednesday.
Goodness.
Was that the Bears and the Browns?
That was horrible.
One night after LeBron and the Cavs ran out of gas.
I knew that was coming up. Let's see, how long did that take? Let me look here. That took all of 7 minutes and 40 seconds for you to bring that up.
The Indians are now on the clock to ending your epic drought, and I don't think they're going to get it done. So it's up to the Brownies and the newly reformed Johnny Manziel, the Boy Scout.
We'll have to wait till next year. That's all I can say.
John, I think the odds are good. Cleveland Cavs, so we'll be back in the finals. That'd be my guess.
I would say if LeBron stays put, which I am guessing he will, the Cavs will be right back where they were this year. It's just a matter of staying healthy. You got to keep Kyrie and Kevin Love healthy.
Yeah, no, they. I'm not one who – I don't buy into moral victories, especially at the pro level, major college level, but I will say this. They were undermanned, and Golden State is so deep. And even with the big three, they probably win the series, but it's not guaranteed. Golden State's very good. They had a record season. What, they win 83 games?
Yep.
They were basically wire-to-wire winners.
Oh, I suppose 83 with the postseason.
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, wow, how did they win 83 games in an 82-game season? Yeah. I know they're good. You confused me there for a short time, but you do that often. 17 to nothing. It had to be hangover. The Indians must have been just dying from what the Cavs did the night before. That's all I can say. And I get a message from a guy that I've never gotten a message before. 17 nothing. What's up with that? I mean, it's like, what in the world? Thanks for the message.
Well, like I said, look at the bright side for Cleveland sports fans this week.
What is the bright
Johnny
side?
Johnny Manziel is changing his image. He's now a Boy Scout.
Yeah,
not
right.
Going to flash the money sign. He regrets all the stuff last year.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. I don't think Johnny Manziel is going to start for you, even if he's a Boy Scout.
Yeah,
I don't know if he's that good in the NFL.
No, he's going to be on the bench. weren't we talking Twins? What happened here?
Yeah.
You did it to me again. You went NFL on me. I know.
Well, I went Cavs.
Well, yeah, and then you brought it to the NFL.
Yeah.
You're the one bringing up the NFL, not me.
I really don't really want to talk about the NFL until it's time to talk about the NFL. I'm mini-camped and OTA'd out.
Yeah, they had their mini-camp this week, the Vikings.
They did.
Yeah. So Pelfrey pitched well, I thought, on Thursday. Well, what's not to like? He pitched 7 shutout innings, and they got strong performances basically all week long. Do they have Tommy Malone pitch well on, was that Wednesday? The game you were at on Wednesday, he pitched well. I mean, are you going to shake Tommy Malone out of the starting rotation? He's got that Minnesota Score Radio karma going. We had him on the show last week. He's been brilliant.
He has. And look, he's going to make it tough for him to knock him out of that rotation, Paul Molitor and Neil Allen and the Brain Trust.
Mm.
I will say this. They came home from St. Louis, pair of 3-2 losses, and they really had hit a bad spot, a lot of turbulence. They'd won, I think, a couple of games in about a week.
Yeah.
Week and some change.
Yeah, they got the one game in Texas, and then they lost two right away in St. Louis. Didn't look good. But then, you know, to beat St. Louis twice at Target Field really kind of set the...
That's the best team in baseball.
Yeah.
I think it's huge. It at least gets them back maybe going in another direction. The Cubs come to town. I think they're in third place now. In fact, when I looked at the standings on Wednesday, the Chicago Cubs and Joe Maddon weren't any better than the Tampa Bay Rays, who are now on top of the AL East.
Yeah, well, the AL East is the AL East this year.
But if the Rays can somehow win it or get in the playoffs again, what does that say?
It says that maybe Joe Maddon wasn't the main reason that they were winning.
Or that maybe, you know, Kevin Cash, his replacement, you know, paid attention to Joe Maddon. And,
yeah.
You know, nobody is above the game.
Exactly.
Bill Walsh left, and George Seifert won a Super Bowl one year.
With Walsh's guys.
Right. But you know what I'm saying.
No, I understand.
You know, Richard Pitino's dad, Rick, left Kentucky, and Tubby won a title, right? Mark Jackson left Golden State, and Steve Kerr won a title.
Tubby went to the second round of the NCAA tournament, and then the following year, Richard Pitino won an NIT title with his guys, correct?
He did.
But that doesn't count. That was all Richard Pitino. And yeah, the reason that they didn't win as many games in the regular season was because Tubby left the cupboard bare.
Isn't that something? How people want to frame things?
But if you throw it the other way around, the only reason Tubby won a championship in Kentucky was because of Rick Pitino.
Yeah, you hear that a lot. You hear that a lot. Well, bottom line is whoever is the coach of the team that year, they've still got to work with those guys.
Correct.
And somehow make it all, you know, click.
Correct. Any other Twins items?
Tyler Jay is signed.
Tyler Jay is signed.
Yep. He was, I believe, at the ballpark Wednesday. The Buxton stuff.
I don't think he's going to last up here, honestly. I think he's going to go down for a while. And I think they send him to AAA this time. I think he goes to AAA and sees a lot more curveballs and sliders.
It'd be nice if he lasted, but...
I don't think
so. You know, I mean, what Willie Mays start out? Like 1-for-15?
Yeah.
Something like that?
I just think that they've learned their lesson with Aaron Hicks, and you can't crush the kid's confidence. He's got to...
Well, he's got a taste now.
Well, at least he has a hit. Aaron Hicks went how many games without even getting a hit?
Hopefully, maybe, this Cubs series, he can pick up some hits. Maybe make a case for not sending him back down. You know they want to keep him, but I think you're right. They do not want to do irreparable damage to his confidence.
They don't want to have to take 2 or 3 years to turn him around.
No, and that novelty of him being up will wear off if he keeps, you know, going 0-for-4 every night.
Yep.
But that doesn't really change the fact that they don't have a center fielder who can hit at this point in time.
No.
So hopefully he can get it going, because even if Hicks comes back, it's really the same conundrum. You have an athletic center fielder
that can't hit,
who isn't giving you much at the plate.
Yeah. And what are they going to do with Shane Robinson and or Schaefer? Anything? Or Arcia? I mean, that's a crowded.
Yeah.
That outfield's getting crowded. Rosario, you can't send Rosario anywhere. Rosario's
he's
too
been a
good.
Spark plug.
Ah, he's too good. He hits like crazy, and he's good in the outfield. I mean, you were there. The outfield assist he had. He threw a guy out the other day.
And he almost had a sliding catch, too, that he had. And then at the last second, kind of the impact of the ground knocked the ball away.
Yes, I saw that. So, I mean, it's a good problem to have, too much talent in the outfield, but they are going to have to make some decisions. And I'm guessing that he's going to stick with 13 position players and 12 pitchers with that problem at hand. I mean, what do you do? Joe Mauer, by the way, is hitting .250.
I know. Well,
I know he hit a home run again, and you know,
hey, his three home runs have all come in clutch situations.
No, and he is hitting way better with guys on base.
Well, he wasn't on Wednesday though.
No,
he had the bases juiced and a chance to break it open.
I know. We can't do it.
And the fans weren't happy with that put out.
Yeah, but he went deep on Thursday. It was big. Tied the game.
No, no question. No question. I mean, that's what makes this team unique. How are they winning? When you step back and assess, who's the power pitcher in the rotation? Who's the guy that opponents would be afraid to face?
They don't have
one. Your closer is very good, but even Glenn Perkins sometimes walks that tightrope. He did on Wednesday night. He had a four-out save Wednesday night. And then, you know, Torrey's very good, but, you know, he's not dominant as far as his stats go. Dozier's good. He's not dominant. Your center field position doesn't give you much with the bat.
Well, they haven't had one above 200
Kurt
for a while.
Kurt Suzuki's not hitting like he did a year ago.
No.
Danny Santana's in the minors. Trevor Plouffe has been up and down.
Yeah, and he's leveled off.
And that's kind of his MO, right? I mean.
Yeah, it kind of has been. Eduardo Nunez, by the way, is your top hitter average-wise on the team. He's in like 320.
Wow. How many at bats?
10. I don't know. But yeah, it is amazing to look at it and try to figure out how they are winning. And I'll tell you how they're winning. Pitching. You know, their starting pitching has been very good. It's been better than I expected.
Well, I think you got to give Mike Pelfrey a lot of credit. Here's a guy that was put in the bullpen during spring training, that last week Florida, and he was upset, and he made it known publicly. And then all of a sudden, Irvin Santana, PED, all that stuff, long suspension, 80 games. Pelfrey gets his spot back. Be careful what you wish for. Well, he's delivered. He talked the talk, walked the walk. So I think he's been a big addition. Now, again, Irvin Santana's on the horizon. He's already doing some stuff in the minor leagues, I believe, and early July is not that far away. They're going to get this guy back. That should be.
Who's going to bump?
A huge addition to the rotation, because when they signed him in the offseason, he got a record deal for the Twins as far as pitchers go.
Who's going to bump? Trevor May? Kyle Gibson? I mean, somebody's going to be out of the
question. Nolasco's going to come back. Then what do you do with him?
Well,
they got too much pitching.
Oh, my goodness. How can that be? How can that possibly be? The team with the worst starting pitching ERA for the last couple of years has too much pitching. Well, that's a good problem to have. They'll figure it out. Somebody will get hurt, or Nolasco will continue to be hurt or something. But that still leaves them six. Even with Nolasco out of the picture, that still leaves them with six, right?
Well, you want that. You want competition.
Because when Santana comes back in the five that you have, that's six.
Right, and that means everybody who takes the mound, well, really, whenever you take the mound, you should be in that competitive frame of mind, but especially now moving forward, knowing Irvin Santana will be back, if you're a Malone, if you're a Nolasco, if you're a Gibson, if you're a May, you got to be on your game.
I agree.
Because somebody, as you pointed out, goes to the bullpen.
Yeah, and it's there's no way that Irvin Santana, if he is healthy, minus PEDs, is healthy and ready to go, that his $50 million contract, whatever he's getting paid, is going to be in the bullpen. Not going to happen.
No. I think, you know, they got him to eat innings, and through the course of a 162-game season, I think they realistically hoped he would eat up innings and get you anywhere from 12 to 17 wins. So now you just split that in half. They can get 8 or 9 wins out of him in the back half of the season.
Oh.
Hey, this team could stay in the chase.
At least for a wild card. All right. We need to take a break, but Rocky has been busy, and it looks like, well, you know, the inimitable one, Twins right fielder, is on that list. We got fishing coming up, and we got some hoops talk coming up. You want to read it?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll have Al Moss, Larry McKenzie, and Torrey Hunter. That is the lineup. Don't go away. Minnesota Score Radio, your Twins ticket.
The Twin Cities home for Minnesota Score Radio is Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Now back to Wally and Eric.
Minnesota Score Radio, joined now by Twins right fielder Torrey Hunter. Torrey, another big, exciting victory for the Twins on Thursday. Kenneth Vargas, who, you know, kind of a redemption thing. He hits into the double play. I know it killed him as he crossed first base and realized what had happened earlier in the game, but he comes through with a big home run. I mean, you guys are spreading the wealth here, aren't you?
Oh, man. Whenever we get something done like this and we get some guys to, you know, get some big hits, it's different guys every night. And Kenny's Vargas, you know, grounded out in that double play with the bases loaded in the eighth or seventh or something like that. And he made the adjustment. He got some pitches up that last at bat and got that slider up and was able to hit it out of the park.
Tell me a little bit about this kid, Kenneth Vargas. He went down for a bit this year, had good power numbers last year. I know when I remember talking to you last year, you said, hey, this kid has got some talent. Your thoughts now that you've played with him for about half a season?
Man, he has some power. You know, athletically, I don't know, but I definitely think he has a lot of power, man. And we just try to – only way you can utilize that is get pitches up. You know, whether it's you swing at pitches from your waist on up, that's what he needs to do. Anything down is going to create a ground ball for him, and that's not good because he doesn't have the speed. He's not a runner like that. So it's more mental than physical with him. If he can mentally just make the adjustment on getting pitches up, I think he's going to hit a lot more doubles and home runs than you know what we've been seeing.
Four games against the Cardinals, they're all low-scoring games. You lose the two in St. Louis, you win the two at home. Do you like the interleague thing where you see teams just a couple of games like this? Did you like the back-to-back? Tell me your thoughts on the whole process.
Oh, man, I've been doing this for years, and, you know, it's kind of cool. It's good for the fans, you know, for us. You know, I've always said that, you know, it kind of spoils the World Series a little bit because you might play this team in the World Series or whoever, you know, like the Tigers or whoever goes to the World Series, you might play the Cardinals or the Dodgers or whoever it may be, and it kind of kills the surprise, and that's what interleague play does. But for the fans to travel and come to see new stadiums and different players, it's awesome for baseball. I mean, that's what it's all about, to make this game grow, and I think by interleague play, I think it has grown.
All right, I can't continue this conversation without, I haven't talked to you since you missed a couple of games earlier in the week. As you reflect back, tell me about your thoughts as you look back at being tossed from the game and then the suspension.
Oh, no. I mean, it's a lot of emotions just that were going on. And, you know, I felt like something wasn't right, and it wasn't, you know. I like to apologize to, you know, all the fans and, you know, with my actions or whatever. Just, you know, a lot of passion I have for this game, and you feel like someone's taking it away from you or from us, actually. It was a rough day for all of us, and so we just try to spark something and get something going, but also not backing down. You know, we've done that for a while, and right now we don't want to back down, you know, and we want to make sure it's known.
New kid on the block, Byron Buxton. Have you talked to him at all? I know you've talked to him a lot. Yeah, you've talked to him a lot. What have the conversations been like? Your thoughts on Byron?
Well, you know, I don't never really tell what I do. You know, I just kind of, you know, you just got to know that I'm giving them all the wisdom that I possibly have, and all the failures that I've been through, I try to give it to these young guys, and the things that I've made adjustments with is my job to give it back to them and give them some outs, you know, the best teacher is just failure and then learning yourself, you got to let them go out there and play the game and just. You know, go through his little funks, and his funks, I think he gets better every time he strikes out, every time he swings at a pitch in the dirt. I think he gets better, and that's all you want in a guy like that, because he's going to make the adjustment. That's what he's all about.
And you see the raw talent, obviously.
Raw. I mean, he's impressive. I mean, once he gets to know this league and what the pitchers are trying to do, what their balls are doing, he never faced a lot of these guys here, and all you can do is kind of watch video and give him all the feedback, you know. For myself, facing a lot of these guys, I try to give it to him. But like I said, the best teacher is just going through it and life experiences. And once he gets that going, he's going to be fine.
All right, one more guy that I wanted to talk to, Eddie Rosario, and some of the things he's done. Boy, and when we talked about 3 weeks ago, you told me, you said, keep an eye on this guy. He is just loaded. I mean, he has done some great things. He had an outfield assist in the game on Wednesday, a couple of big hits. Tell me about this kid.
Man, you know what, Rosie, man, he's a guy, Rosario is a guy that goes out and plays, doesn't care. You know, he's not scared of anybody on that field. I don't care who's on the mound, he's ready to battle and ready to play. Plays hard, short swing, comes through in the clutch. You know, I mean, the guy is everything, and I think that's a mentality, because you have guys with the talent of Rosario, but the mentality you don't have. It's not too many guys in the game that have the mentality that Rosario has, and that's special. That's somebody you might want to keep around and keep an eye on, because he doesn't care. He's a gamer. He's tough.
All right, Torrey, finally, club has kind of got back to sea level here. Won two of your last four, a couple in a row over the Cardinals. It is a long, long season, and you just can't worry about a four-game losing streak, can you?
You know what? I've been on some great teams, and you look at, you know, when I was at Detroit, 13 and 14, we had a great team, but we lost like 8 in a row one time. We won one game out of 12, and it was during the season nobody remembered. And last year we did the same thing. We were like 1-9, and nobody remembered. You know, it's just good teams go through those stretches, and we went through those stretches, and we lost some one-run games, some close games, and that's part of baseball. It's going to happen. But we had such a great end of April and middle of May. I mean, all of May, and 6 weeks of great baseball, and then you go through a funk. It's like, oh, we thought they were going to do that. No, we're playing good ball. We just got to maintain health, faith, which is patience, and get it done.
Torrey, appreciate the time. We'll talk to you down the road.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
The great Torrey Hunter here on Minnesota Score Radio.
From the land of sky blue waters, you're listening to Minnesota Score Radio on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Welcome back. Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Going to talk some basketball now, and joining us on the line, Larry McKenzie, boys head basketball coach at Minneapolis North High School. Of course, our color commentator throughout our boys high school basketball state tournament coverage throughout the season. And Larry, it's not very often, and I guess I can't remember the last time when, that you talk about two Minnesota high school products that are going to be first round draft picks, or so it seems, in a couple of guys, Tyus Jones, who played 1 year at Duke, and Rashad Vaughn, of course, the Cooper product, who played 1 year at UNLV. First of all, let's tackle Tyus. Obviously, MVP of the Final Four this year. Is he a top 20 pick? Where do you see him landing?
Yeah, you know what? I think certainly he's a top 20 pick. So, first of all, Wally, thank you for having me on. And I would say, you know, everything as I track the draft and follow those kids, I think everything indicates that he'll be a top 20 pick, which I think is a perfect landing spot for a kid like Tyus. I think it will be to his benefit to land with one of the better teams.
Yes.
Where there's not as much pressure for him to have to produce right away. But, you know, I think he's proven that he's definitely worthy of consideration around, you know, between 15th and 20th, for sure.
If you were advising him, would you have advised him to stay another year? Would almost definitely make him a lottery pick, wouldn't it, Ben?
Yeah, Wally, but I don't think, you know, I guess my advice is, you know, you don't have a crystal ball and you don't know what's going to happen.
Sure.
I mean, I don't, you know, for a kid like that, you couldn't have had a better year. You're going to lose one of the top players in the nation, actually a couple guys, because I think he'll have two teammates that'll go ahead of him in Winslow and Okafor, you know, which means that they will be lottery picks. So, you know, you just don't know. And so after coming off a year like that, you know, the reality of it is, why take another chance? The NBA pays. And with the rookie salary cap, you know, it doesn't really matter that much. I mean, because everybody's playing for the second contract anyway.
Yeah. And the point is, in this, is to make sure you get drafted in the first round. That is where you want.
That's correct. Yeah. Absolutely, because that's the only guaranteed money.
Yeah,
because
if you're in the second round, then you literally have to beat out somebody who has a guaranteed contract, correct?
And it becomes tough because, you know, with a lot of these teams, for example, the Timberwolves, I mean, when you got a squad where you're sitting on, you know, 15 guaranteed contracts, it's difficult for a second-round pick to come in, you know, and that's what happened to the Robinson kid this year. I mean, you know,
yes,
made the squad, but as soon as those guys got healthy, I mean, you know, he was out of the league. So you definitely want to be in that top 30, those top 30 picks.
Okay. Let's talk about the skill set that Tyus brings. We know his court vision is great. We know that his veracity as a player. But defensively, is he going to struggle in the NBA?
You know what? I think he'll struggle a little bit defensively. I mean, he's not the quickest guy, but the one thing that he have in his favor, you know, I mean, me and you, we played a little bit. As you get older, it's not much about the athleticism as it is about being smart.
Yep.
And so I think he has an off the chart basketball IQ, you know, ability to think the game. And so I think there'll be a lot of advantages to that. And then, you know, one thing about being coached by some of the best basketball minds in the world, I mean, they figure out, you know, somewhat how to you know, cover up some of those deficiencies that kids may have. I mean, you look at a guy like Dele, I mean, if he can have that kind of impact, I certainly believe that Tyus Jones can.
Okay, let's move on to Rashad Vaughn, because I think he was kind of the wild card in all of this, Larry. And I think you'll agree, because He had such a short season with the injuries. He was on a UNLV team that really wasn't that good. He only played one, not even a 1 year of college basketball because of the injuries. Played his senior year of high school basketball out at Finley Prep in Las Vegas. So, you know, we lost track of him a little bit out there after you know, he had a career at Cooper High School here in the Twin Cities. But he has impressed in these workouts leading up to the draft. And my spies tell me that his stock is rising and rising, and he is likely to be drafted ahead of Tyus Jones, and I never would have thought that.
Well, I mean, so we've all been tracking him. I mean, we, you know, those of us that love the game, we track those local kids. And all the people that I've talked to, I mean, actually I talked to somebody that watched him work out yesterday, and they said his workouts have been, you know, off the charts. And I know early on he was projected high second round, and I don't think he'll go before Tyus.
You
but
don't?
I think the lat. And actually, I just bought that USA Today draft projection thing. And so the last, I think Tyus is projected around 20. Shotty is projected around 23, 24. But certainly for a guy who was injured, you know, didn't have an off-the-chart freshman year.
No.
I mean, you know, he played decent when he played, but he had some injuries. And, I mean, he has been the one guy that have been, you know, flying up the draft board from everything that I've read and everything that I've heard. So, you know, I mean, I think they both will go fairly close to one another.
One last question for you. I'm not going to let you go without getting your view and your prediction on what the locals will do. What are the Timberwolves going to do? Carl Anthony Towns? Are they parading around Russell for a reason? What are they going to do?
Well, I hope that they're not talking about D'Angelo Russell. I love D'Angelo Russell, but, you know, and let's be honest, Rubio hasn't given us what we thought, but I think you have enough pieces with LaVine and Wiggins that if I'm the GM, I'm going up to the podium and I'm giving my card that says Anthony Towns. I mean, I think, you know, obviously they lack defensively. He's a shot blocker. You don't need scoring. You're going to build your team around Wiggins. You know, you have LaVine. You have some guys that can put up numbers. I mean, you have Bennett. So why not go get a guy? You know, and that's the beauty of, as you watch, like a Tristan Thompson. I just love the series.
Yes.
Watching a guy who did not have needed to have the ball to have impact on the game. And certainly I think if the Timberwolves can get a guy like that, along with what they had, you know, they weren't that far away from the playoffs without before the injury. So if you can get a guy like that, maybe you could climb into the number 7 or number 8 spot.
All right, Larry, appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to next Thursday and see how it all unfolds.
All righty, Wally. Thank you for having me on.
Larry McKenzie, the boys' head basketball coach of Minneapolis North, of course, our color commentator on all of our high school basketball coverage here in Minnesota Score. We're back after this timeout.
Back to Minnesota Score Radio with Wally Langfellow and Eric Nelson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Welcome back, Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Time now to switch gears and talk some fishing with Hall of Fame fisherman Al Moss up on Leech Lake. Al, weather's starting to shift a little bit. We're starting to get in some of that warmer weather. Let's start out with the bass. I know that you had mentioned to me a little earlier that the bass bite is a little slow right now. If you do want to fish bass on Leech, what's your recommendation?
Well, it's picked up a little bit, Wally. What you have to do now, though, is move out to the edges of the center ice beds and go along the edges of the bulrushes or cattails. The fish are kind of scattered more than what they were before. They're kind of off their beds. I would look towards Sucker Bay, Boy Bay, Headquarters Bay, and maybe even in Steamboat Bay. These are the shallow bays that contain the majority of the bass. Now, these are largemouth. Throwing for them, I would be throwing at this particular time a spoon. I have one spoon of Jawbreaker or something similar that works across the top of the weeds till they blow out. Then come back with a pig in a jig or some type of jig with a creature on it. Following that up, I'm sure you're going to pick up the fish. I'm hearing a lot of people that are really catching quality, but we don't have a lot of fishermen right now because the weather, you know, has been up and down. But bass are going well, yeah.
Okay. Shift gears. Panfish. Panfish is going strong as usual?
Yes, and that's the same thing. They're not pulling off their beds. The crappies are still But they moved out a little bit, but the bite has been extremely strong. And talking to resorters last night, they've never had a year where the crappie bite has been that good. That's going to end shortly. They're going to disperse. But, you know, you're talking a lot of fish here that are in the 15-inch category. So if you're fishing them, you know, your limit is 10. You really don't need it. Take only the minimal number because the genetics are needed for the lake. The sunfish are still around. They're up in there, and you know, you'll find them in the same areas. Look for the beds. Look for the bulrush patches. They're definitely in that area. And some of the cara weed, which is junkweed on the bottom. Using anything but a deadly thing, of course, is the leech. You can't go wrong with a panfish leech. Slip bobber, throwing it up in there, and you'll get your fish.
All right. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk walleye and we'll talk pike, and we'll find out where these guys in that big tournament last weekend were catching them. You're listening to Minnesota Score Radio. Our Leech Lake Fishing Report with Al Moss continues right after this timeout.
The Twin Cities home for Minnesota Score Radio is Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Now back to Wally and Eric.
And we're back. Minnesota Score Radio, your sports ticket. Final segment. Wally and Eric, as we wrap it up this week. Well, next week, the NBA draft. Your Timberwolves have been on the clock now for weeks as they try to figure out who they should take with that number one overall pick after having won the lottery. I know it's painful for you anytime somebody brings up the name Golden State Warriors, but I'm going to do this in context of trying to paint a picture for Wolves fans that might get them in a good mood. As recently as 3 years ago, four seasons ago, 2012, the end of that season, the 11-12 season, the Warriors were very bad. They had four really bad years. Then Mark Jackson came on board. Things started to turn. But my point is, the current NBA champions used to be Timberwolves bad, and not that long ago. I think there's hope. If they draft right, if they make shrewd moves, if they get some players with character in here, and they coach them up,
yeah,
there's potential.
Now, they've drafted some characters over the year. J.R. Ryder comes to mind.
And they bypassed on one with a lot of character, Steph Curry.
Yeah, but we had the Johnny Flynn era.
When you think about that one, they had three point guards that they took instead of Curry. Flynn, Ty Lawson, and Ricky Rubio.
Well, they still have Rubio. That hasn't worked out so well.
Wow.
That was the David Kahn.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And Lawson's pretty good, but they dealt him right away. Johnny Flynn didn't quite work out.
Oh, dear. Speaking of the Wolves, I had a chance to visit the new palace over across the street from Target Center. They had a grand opening earlier in the week.
Now, my spies tell me you went there because they fed you.
Oh, they did feed us.
I was tipped off on that one. You got on television, too, I hear.
My kid Peyton saw you. I did not know that. I did not realize that I was back in the TV mode.
He wanted to know what was in that bag. I said, probably the food.
Wow.
No, that was just a joke. I threw that in there.
No, well,
is it everything they're talking about? The commissioner was in town. I know Adam Silver
was there. I listened to his little media scrum, and they had one. Of course, Glenn Taylor had one. Glenn Taylor talking about all the advantages that they hope to reap from having this thing right across the street from the arena. And it makes a lot of sense if you think about it. I mean, there's the training facilities, locker rooms, everything is in there. And then all the offices, all the Timberwolves offices are in there now, too. And it's
That's right. They had a kind of a garage sale. They sold a lot of things when they moved out.
Oh, did they really?
Across the skyway.
Did you get anything?
No, I did not.
Okay.
A Tony Campbell jersey.
A Tony Campbell jersey. A Scott Roth jersey. Yeah. We're going to go that direction. No, it was very impressive. Their offices, administrative offices now are phenomenal. High ceilings. They've got the ribbon video board going around inside.
Wow.
this
and it's also for the links too.
Yes,
they have their own facility, right? The WNBA commissioner Laurel Richie was here as well.
She was, and she's actually, it's not commissioner, it's, there's a different title she has. I think it's like vice president or something like that, but she was here.
She's the one who
she's the
doesn't
head.
Like Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, exactly. That's the one. She's probably not the only one that doesn't like Isaiah Thomas, but yes. But the Lynx have, now they have two gyms and they're side by side, and there's kind of a quasi border in between the two. You can get from one to the other. You can actually see the other court from one, and there's kind of a small wall between the two. But they both it's made up so that if the others aren't there, you could use both of them. Let's put it that way. They could use both gyms. They're right next to each other. There's a media studio down there right adjacent to the courts. Of course, the Timberwolves locker room, the Lynx locker room. Up above, like kind of on a second level, are the offices of basketball operations folks. Glenn Taylor has a suite up there looking, can bring people in and watch practice. I mean, it's, you know, they tried to think of everything. Let's put it that way. And they did a really nice job. They got a theater in there. I don't know, probably seats, I would guess, 100 people, I would guess. It's unbelievable. It really is remarkable.
Will it help if you're out trying to lure a free agency to the North Pole of the NBA?
Yeah, I think so.
You've got Andrew Wiggins and KG saying this isn't a bad place to play. Will that be a chip?
I think that what you've suggested is probably going to be the case. I don't think they bring a free agent in there and he looks at it and says, oh, this is great. I think that he hears something from KG or from Wiggins or whoever it might be and say, wow, they got a great facility right across the street from the arena. You walk across the skyway and they're in the arena.
You don't have to get out in the cold if you don't want to.
No, and they can park. Now they have parking immediately underneath the Timberwolves locker room. So they drive in, they park in the underground garage, and they take an elevator up to the Timberwolves locker room. They never have to go outside. So that will be a factor, I think, in trying to lure some of these guys in that might want to come here.
Well, you know, it's all about bells and whistles, even at the professional level. You hear about it with college and recruiting, and that's why the Gophers want this athletics village.
Yes.
Over there at the U of M, that they lag behind these other schools like Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, you know, you name it. They're at the bottom when it comes to that. So why not the pros? I mean, what helped the Dallas Mavericks when Mark Cuban took over? He pampered and spoiled his athletes with luxury and gifts. I mean, everybody, you know, had a flat screen TV at their locker. And this
the
is
plane
back,
rides.
Yeah,
and all
exactly.
That stuff,
their own charter. So that adds up. And I think that, you know, the one thing that does help the Minnesota Timberwolves, they now have a huge piece in Andrew Wiggins. And I did want to ask you this, not to rub any salt in your championship-less wound.
Jeez. This is endless today.
I just want to throw it out there.
Throw you out of the studio here. Go on.
All right. If the Cavs would have kept Andrew Wiggins, who, as we know, played in all 82 games for the Wolves, he was durable, a lot of minutes. If Andrew Wiggins was on this Cavs team, rookie, this past season, would that have been enough for the Cavs to overtake Golden State? I was thinking about it the other day. That might have been enough to at least get him to a seventh game.
It's a great point. I haven't thought about it. You know, obviously Kevin Love gave them a whole different.
And I'm not knocking Love, but let's face it, the injury took him out of the equation in the playoffs.
Yeah, it did. It's a great question. I don't know. You know, does Andrew Wiggins do too much of the same thing that LeBron does? But I mean, obviously LeBron is bigger and better. I don't know. Yeah, they needed another offensive threat. There is no question about that. They needed another offensive threat because J.R. Swish was just terrible. You know, he just was. He just could do nothing in the. He hit a few threes here and there, but as good as he was in some of those games against Chicago, he disappeared against Golden
State. Yeah, he was very, very mercurial. I mean, you need more consistency out of J.R. Smith. But, they also ran into a juggernaut.
Golden State. I mean, you know what? The last 35 games of the year, the Cavs were 32-3 in the regular season. They had the best record, probably were the best team in the NBA at that point. But you can't lose two of your three best players and expect to still be the best team in the NBA.
Well, and that's what happened. Magic Johnson on with Mike and Mike earlier this week, and he you know, he's so intelligent when it comes to talking about basketball, and he has that pedigree of having been on five title teams with the Lakers and then one with Michigan State. But he says, you know, back when he played with the Showtime Lakers, and they ran it up and down the floor, they were fun to watch, as you remember. But the whole goal there was to get the easy layup or the dunk.
Right.
By Kareem or Worthy or whoever. He says Golden State is a high-tempo, up-and-down transition team looking for a three ball.
That's exactly
and he says
right.
That's unique, and it's going to change the NBA. and you're going to see teams copy this.
But teams don't have.
You got to have the weapons to do
you
it.
You got to have guys like Thompson and Curry on your roster, and Iguodala came out of nowhere. I mean, who would have thought Iguodala would have played as big a role as he did in these NBA finals?
MVP.
Yeah, he was phenomenal. He really was. Did he start a game? I don't think he started a game all year.
I don't think so either.
Everybody
bought into the, what Steve Kerr was selling to. David Lee, a guy the Wolves tried to get a few years ago as a free agent.
I remember that.
Was on the bench for a big chunk of the series. But when he came in, he was effective. So that's what it takes. Yep. And, for the first time that I can remember, maybe ever, we crowned back-to-back champions two nights in a row. Blackhawks on a Monday and the Warriors on a Tuesday. Two major sports championships within a 24-hour span. I can't remember that. Can you?
No, I thought you were going to say that those teams both won back-to-back titles. I was going to say, what are you talking about?
No, we had an NHL champ and an NBA champ.
Okay. Yeah, I follow you now.
And
I'm slow.
We're going to have a U.S. Open champ, too, this weekend in suburban Seattle on this odd golf course they built where players are dribbling golf balls like basketball.
You going up there?
They've got one tree on the course, and a train goes by.
Yeah, how come you're not in Washington this week?
I should be. I like Seattle. This is a good time of year to be there.
It
I would have liked to have been there earlier this week when King Felix took on Madison Bumgarner. How would you like to have seen that pitching matchup?
How did that turn out? I did not.
King Felix got the victory. 2-0.
Yeah, that's a pitcher's duel. I'm waiting for them to talk about raising the mound with all the pitching that's going on. I'm serious. I mean, lowering the mound. Excuse me. I am serious. I think that they might think about lowering the mound again.
Just bring back the juice.
That'll solve all the problems. Oh, dear. All right. We should wrap things up. A reminder, visit our website. It's minnesotascore.com. That's home to the Minnesota Score magazine. You can subscribe right online. Just $19.95 for 1 year of the Minnesota Score.
All right, let's FedEx out those thank yous. One goes to Al Moss, another to Larry McKenzie, also one to Torrey Hunter for Rocky and Wally Langfellow. I'm Eric Nelson saying so long. We are Minnesota Score Radio, your Golden State Warriors ticket.
Ouch.